Good evening, church. If I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you yet, my name is Kelton. I had the privilege of serving as one of the pastors here of Stafford Baptist Church. We continue our meditation on the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now with a short message from God's Word. So if you would, open your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, in verse 13. This verse and those around it form one of the clearest explanations of the necessity, the meaning, and the consequence of the suffering of the cross. In fact, I think as you'll see in just a minute, the language that Paul uses here is so startling, almost shocking, that we would not dare to use it were it not the clear teaching of the Bible. The horrors of Jesus' crucifixion, his unjust arrest, the false accusations, the mocking, abuse, the darkness, desertion, and death are described by Paul here as a curse. That Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, who deserves all blessing, became a curse for us. Read with me the one verse, Galatians 3, 13. Paul writes, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.'" The word of the Lord. As I said, this is one of the clearest explanations of the necessity, the meaning, and consequences of the suffering of the cross. It is divinely inspired commentary on Good Friday, the narrative that we've read this evening. Maybe the first thing to notice about this verse, though, is he doesn't actually call it a cross, does he? No, he calls it a tree. "Cursed is everyone who is hanged," he says, "on a tree." The first people who proclaimed the message of the cross were in the habit of calling it a tree. And no, that's not just because it was made of wood. No, it was a quick way to refer to the Old Testament. They learned to call it a tree from the Old Testament. And this verse in particular, you see that Paul here is quoting a verse. He is quoting Deuteronomy 21:23. Deuteronomy, that fifth book of the Old Testament, is a book of laws for the nation of Israel. It taught them when a person committed a crime that was deserving of death and he is hung on a tree, well, the law is you must take him down from that tree the same day. He is not to remain on that tree till the next day. And why? It's because cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. The one who died and is displayed is under God's curse, Deuteronomy teaches. So when the apostles like Paul, Peter, call it a tree, the cross a tree, they're saying that that's what happened on the cross, the tree of Golgotha. The one who hung on that tree was cursed. I don't know about you, but when I think of curse, I think of a cackling witch with a crooked, warty nose leaning over a boiling cauldron. You know, witches put curses on people. Hexes, if you will. That is not what Paul means here. This isn't dark magic. It is the penalty for sin. Curse, as the Bible uses, as Paul means it here, is the opposite of God's blessing. It is the penalty for sin. So when Adam and Eve first sinned, they received a curse. Satan and that first couple were cursed by God. Paul had said a few verses earlier here in Galatians 3 that all, in verse 10, who rely on works of the law are under a curse. They are under God's penalty, not blessing, because no one can do what the law requires. You know, obedience to the law deserves a blessing. You know, it deserves God's reward and commendation, his favor and his pleasure. In the Old Testament, it was pictured by by large flocks, abundant harvests, victory over your enemies. In short, all the fullness of God's blessing for obedience. And that's why Galatians 3:13 is so shocking. The one who Paul says bears a curse is God incarnate. In his person, in his divine nature, the Son of God is blessed forever. Just because he is God, he deserves not only blessing, but honor and glory and thanksgiving from all creatures forever and ever. The three persons of God, the Father and the Spirit with the Son, have existed in perfect blessedness forever, from before there was forever. But more than that, in his incarnation, in his life, the Son, Jesus Christ, merited only blessings from God. He lived unlike anyone had ever lived, in perfect obedience to God's law, in love for God and neighbor with every thought, word, and deed. He never did and never even desired what God's law prohibited, not even for an instant. His heart never in any degree fixated on evil. Instead, in him was the overflow of God's blessing to all, as he healed the sick, fed the hungry, even forgave sinners. His blessedness was even confirmed by heaven, as God the Father announced that Jesus was his beloved Son, with whom he says, "I am well pleased." No, Jesus had all the blessings of heaven, all the pleasures and favor of God in his perfect person and works. You know, if you see Jesus just as an inspired teacher, a charismatic leader, but not God, well, then the events of Good Friday will merely be tragic, but no worse than any other martyr. But if you see by faith that Jesus is God, then what happened on the cross is so startling, so shocking, that we would not dare to believe it were it not the clear teaching of the Bible. Paul is here saying that the perfect and blessed God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, became a curse for us. He who received heaven's worship in the blessedness of his own glory for all time, on the cross took on divine cursing. If the curse is the opposite of blessing, it means that instead of reward and commendation, Jesus Christ on the cross was punished and condemned. Instead of favor and pleasure from his Father, Jesus Christ received his anger and wrath. And that was evident to everyone in the crowd on that Good Friday. They mocked Jesus as he hung on the cross because he claimed to be the Son of God, but now hung on the tree as an object of God's curse. How could an honest observer conclude anything different? He was betrayed by his own friends. He made no defense, even to a single charge, though no evil was found in him. A murderer was chosen by the crowd rather than him. The cruel abuse, the suffering of crucifixion, the covering of darkness, the cry of desertion, and his death all confirmed that this man was truly cursed by God. On the cross, it was plain for everyone to see that this man was God forsaken, the object of God's scorn, and therefore it was reasoned the scorn of the godly. He who is blessed forever, now the scorn of God. But why? Why was he a man of sorrows? Why did he bear shame and rude scoffing? In my place, condemned he stood. In my place. The blessed Son of God was cursed on that tree for us. He did this, Paul writes, to redeem us from our curse, from the curse of the law. The curse of the law, as Paul calls it there in Galatians 3:13, is the curse that we all deserve for our failure to live as God's law requires, as God's righteousness requires. Paul means that all people are under God's curse. God's perfect goodness requires that we too be perfect in goodness to receive his blessing. God is so good that he cannot excuse or tolerate even the slightest hint of evil. And that means all who do evil receive not his blessing, but cursing. Paul quotes God's own words back to us in verse 10. He says, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." All of us are cursed because none of us have done all what God requires. That is our curse. That is the curse of the law, the curse that all people are under. God's punishment and condemnation, his anger and wrath. And there is no way that we can rescue ourselves from this curse. Our sinful hearts cannot obey God's law as they ought. Nor can we repay the infinite debt that we already owe to God. But there is good news this Good Friday. Despite how terrible Jesus' cruel crucifixion was, the greatest suffering of Good Friday was not the physical, but the spiritual. That on the tree, Jesus Christ took our place to receive the curse that we deserve, Paul writes, for us, on our behalf. Yes, it was evident to everyone in the crowd that this man was cursed by God, but do you, friends, have the faith to see that he did not do this for his own sins, but for yours? Do you confess from the heart that you, by your many and continued sins, deserve opposition and condemnation from a good God? But Paul explains the cross, that what happened on the tree is that Christ became a curse for us. He did this in your place, on your behalf, if you will come to him in faith. He received in himself the punishment, the condemnation, the anger and wrath that belong to you. And by that death, Paul says he redeemed us from our curse. He paid the price for our sins. There's no low interest payment plan, even if for a billion years. No, Jesus paid it all. And that is the glory of the cross, friends. The author Ellen White put it this way: Christ was treated as we deserve, that we may be treated as he deserves. He was condemned for our sins, in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness, in which we had no share. He suffered the death which was ours, that we might receive the life which was his. By his stripes, we are healed. Friends, in our sins, we have all substituted ourselves for God. We have put ourselves on God's throne. And the heart of the cross is God substituting himself for man, willingly leaving his throne that he might bear the curse for your sins. This is the good news of Good Friday. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So, church, this evening, consider the sufferings of Christ. See in them what our sins deserve, but see in them a display of God's great love and power. Christ became sin for us, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, Jesus invites you tonight. Come to him. He will take the curse that you deserve and fill you with all the blessings that are his. Forgiveness, righteousness, eternal life, and communion with your Creator and Redeemer. So come, friends, this evening to the cross. Sing this evening with the gift of faith. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, our hearts rejoice at the good news of Good Friday. Father, the good news is that God in the flesh substituted himself for us. Lord, that Christ on the cross was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves, to receive all your blessings by the gift of his death for us. Oh, Father, this evening we pray that you would give us grace to meditate on his suffering for us. Lord, that our hearts would be filled with awe at the glories of the blessed Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.